The title of the sermon tonight, Eight Characteristics of Joyful People. And all of a sudden, I know you're saying, 8 points, this is going to be forever. It'll go quickly. Helen Keller was both blind and deaf, but I wanted to share something that she wrote about people she met. I have met people so empty of joy that when I clasp their frosty fingertips, it seems as if I were shaking hands with a northeast storm. Others there are whose hands have sunbeams in them, so that their grasp warms my heart. It may be only the clinging touch of a child's hand, but there is as much potential sunshine in it for me as there is in a loving glance for others. I wondered when I read that, if she were to shake hands with you, would she feel a sunbeam or a northeast storm? Believers are commanded to rejoice. The text that was announced for the message tonight was 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. By the way, that's the shortest verse in the Bible, really, in the Greek text. There are 14 letters in the Greek text, and Jesus Wept has 16 letters. So I'm on the shortest text tonight, rejoice evermore. You know, joy is not affected by adverse circumstances. Paul experienced and expressed the joy even when he was in prison. The prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon is usually added to that, written in the year 60 to 62 AD. And he wrote in Philippians, which is the theme of that book is joy, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Joy is not found in just pleasant circumstances that you face. Real joy is found in knowing Jesus Christ. There's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness, the etymology for the word, it's from the word hap, the noun, which means chance or fortune. Now, the word happiness then means lucky, favored by fortune, being in advantageous circumstances, or prosperous. So when things happen that seem to be turning out well, we're happy. Joy, on the other hand, and I'm going to give the definition of biblical joy, is a realization that God is in control of every detail of your life, and that whatever he allows to come into your life is ultimately for your good and for his glory. And when you recognize that, you can be joyful no matter what the circumstances. D.L. Moody said, happiness is caused by things that happen around me, and circumstances will mar it. But joy flows right on through trouble. Joy flows on through the dark. Joy flows in the night as well as in the day. Joy flows through persecution and opposition. It is an unceasing fountain bubbling up in the heart, a secret springing the world cannot see and doesn't know anything about. The Lord gives his people perpetual joy when they walk in obedience to him. One of the favorite verses I have is Psalm 16:11. David wrote it. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And you'll find that real joy, that real fullness of joy, when you're living daily with the recognition that you're walking in the presence of God. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Well, I have 3 points to the outline tonight. Joy in Israel's worship, joy in Christ's work, and joy in the Christian's walk. And as we go through those different passages, we'll compile a list of those 8 characteristics of people who are joyful. First of all, there's joy in Israel's worship. Let's go to the Old Testament. The temple was built under the direction of Solomon after David had gathered all the materials. And this was the place where that signified God's presence with them. And remember what we said about David, in thy presence is fullness of joy. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 9, 1 Chronicles 29:9. We read, then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. So the people rejoiced. David the king rejoiced. Why? They were able to give willingly. That word willingly is a word that was used of soldiers who volunteer for battle. This is a cause I want to be involved in. Or for someone who had a gift that they wanted to give spontaneously. There was joy in that. Or a gift that's given freely with no strings attached. There's joy in that. And so that word willingly has that idea in the Old Testament. We see the same thing in the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 6 and 7. But I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. This joy was not only seen in Israel's giving to the temple building, but also in rebuilding. Oh, let me give that first characteristics of joy then. Number one, joyful people give willingly with pure motives, okay, from that perfect heart. Joyful people give willingly. Now, not only in giving toward that temple building, but also in the rebuilding. I remember there were three that came back to Jerusalem. Zerubbabel led the first wave of returnees. And under Zerubbabel, they rebuilt the temple. Then Ezra came. And under Ezra, they rebuilt the community. And then finally, Nehemiah came. And with Nehemiah, they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. So we're looking at what Zerubbabel did in the temple rebuilding. We're in Ezra chapter 3 and verse 1, and we'll be here for a little bit tonight. Ezra 3:1, and when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then we get down to verse 11 of Ezra 3. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good. Ezra 3:11. He is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Again, under Zerubbabel, rebuilding the temple. Verse 12, but many of the priests and Levites and the chief of the fathers, who were ancient men, isn't that a nice way to say they were old? That they had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, they wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. So the second characteristic of a person that's joyful, joyful people worship enthusiastically. Joyful people give willingly, with pure motives. Joyful people worship enthusiastically. They don't want to, the same thing is true today. They don't want to miss church. The doors are open. They look forward to coming, to singing, to bringing praise to God. David in the Old Testament, in Psalm 122:1, those are the songs of degrees. And the degrees are the incline. As they went up to Jerusalem, they would sing these psalms. Song of the degrees of David, Psalm 122:1, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you glad when someone tells you, are you going to be in church? Oh, I'll be there. We'll worship the Lord together. There should be great joy in that. Joyful people worship enthusiastically. Then notice in Nehemiah chapter 8 and also in verse 1, we have the work of Ezra. He returns to the city of Jerusalem, and they're going to continue the rebuilding process. And in Nehemiah 8, verse 1, it says, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man. It's the same thing that we saw in the previous verse under Cyrus. They gathered together as one man. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 7, you'll see how many people were there gathering as one man. There were 49,690 Israelites and their servants. And so all these gathered together. And notice as we continue in verse 1 of Nehemiah 8, into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And so they're reading this book of the law, the five books of Moses. It takes about 3 hours and 40 minutes to read those five books of Moses out loud. Verse 4, and Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they made for the purpose. Now, it wasn't a pulpit like we have in front of the church here, but the pulpit of wood was a platform or an elevated stage. There were 14 people on this platform as you read through this text. Ezra stood with six men on his right, with seven men on his left, and so it was a large stage, a platform. We're in Nehemiah 8. Let's go down to in verse 7. 13 men are named there, along with the Levites, and they answered the questions and they explained the meaning. They probably went down among the people and answered the questions as they explained God's law and what it said. So now in verse 8. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. That is a great definition of what should be happening when God's word is opened. Read it, give us the understanding and the sense. In verse 9, Nehemiah said, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Verse 12, and all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Here's our third point now. Joyful people love God's word. Joyful people love God's word. Now we come to our second main point, and we leave the Old Testament and the joy that Israel had, and let's look at joy that that people had in Christ's work. Joy in Christ's work. First of all, there was joy when his birth was announced by the shepherds, or to the shepherds by an angel. Luke 2, verse 10. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The wise men also rejoiced when they found the star. Remember, they found it, and it guided them to the Christ child in Matthew chapter 2, verse 10. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. So his birth brought joy to the shepherds. The star brought joy to the wise men. His birth brought reason for many others to rejoice as well. Back in Luke 2:10, it said, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, not just the shepherds. And in Luke 1:14, it says, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. His birth was surrounded with joy. His death was the reason for Christ to have joy. An unusual verse in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Albert Barnes says, in view of all the honor which he would have had at the right hand of God, and the happiness which he would experience from the consciousness that he had redeemed the world, he was willing to bear the sorrows connected with the atonement. The resurrection brought joy. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and John, were the first there. Matthew 28:8, it says, and they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. The two at Emmaus had joy. They found the disciples in the upper room. They returned that same day that Jesus was raised, was crucified, and was raised from the dead. And the doors were locked, and Jesus appeared in their midst. Luke 24:41, "And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye any meat?" Do you have anything to eat? When you consider the work of Christ, when you realize the work has been finished, that Jesus paid the entire price of your sin, doesn't it bring joy in your heart? You can't help but rejoice in what he's done for you. So the fourth in our list, joyful people consider what Christ has done for them. Now we move to the last section, joy in the believer's walk. We're to know that joy comes from being spirit-filled. Galatians 5:22, it lists the 9 fruits of the Spirit. And joy is the second. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, or gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So 5, joyful people produce spiritual fruit. Again, characteristics of people with joy. Joyful people have those fruit in their life, the spiritual fruit. We're to know the joy of answered prayer. In John 16:24, John writes, "Hitherto have ye asked," or Jesus was saying, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Have you ever looked back and seen the answers to prayer that God has brought into your life? Direct answers to prayer. There's this sense of joy, isn't there? That God heard you, that he answered you. He did what only he could do. He cared about you enough to listen. And your joy is full. So here's the 6th characteristics. Joyful people know that God answers their prayers. Joyful people know that God answers their prayers. Now we're to experience joy in ministry to others. We're joyous when we see someone accept Christ as their Savior. In 1 Thessalonians 2:19, Paul writes, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." In Luke 15:10, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." We have joy when someone comes to Christ. We have joy when they grow, when we see others grow spiritually. Philippians 4:1, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." 3 John 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And so there's joy not only when someone comes to Christ, there's joy when they grow, when they have that spiritual growth. So 7, joyful people rejoice in seeing God's work in the lives of others. Joyful people rejoice in seeing God's work in the lives of others. We have one more. We're to look forward to the joy of seeing Jesus Christ face to face. In Jude 24, it's a benediction. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen." Have you ever gone to a riding stable and gotten on a horse and you said, "This is a really slow horse. He is so lazy. His head hangs down." And you go, and well, that's what you paid for, and that's the one they gave you, and you don't want to raise a stink, so you ride him back. But have you ever noticed on the way back to the barn how he picks up his gait and he lifts his head? He knows where the oats are. Charles Haddon Spurgeon wrote this, "My horse invariably comes home in less time than he makes on the journey away. He pulls the carriage with a hearty goodwill when his face is toward home. Should not I also both suffer and labor the more joyously because my way lies toward heaven? And I am on my pilgrimage to my Father's house, my soul's dear home and resting place." Oh, 8, joyful people look forward to being with Christ for eternity. Well, let me just reiterate the 8 in case you missed one. Here are the characteristics of joyful people. They give cheerfully. They worship enthusiastically. They have a love for his word. They consider what Christ has done for them. 5, they produce spiritual fruit. 6, they know the joy that God answers prayers. 7, they rejoice in God's work in the lives of others. And last, they have a longing to be with Christ for eternity. If you were to take inventory of your life just for the past week, would people see joy on your face? Will you let God restore the joy that he wants you to have? Maybe there's been unhappiness. Maybe there's been despair, things that have not happened well to your advantage. But that genuine joy that comes from knowing and doing God's will and being in his presence can be yours. Are you ready to be obedient to that simple command in Scripture? Rejoice evermore. Remember, the key to having joy is living in the presence of God. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you would restore the joy of salvation if there's someone here that's drifted away from you. Help us to find joy in you. We need to be filled with that joy, and we realize it's only you who can give it to us. You've given it to us in salvation. You give it to us in providing for our needs and answering prayer. And all the things that we've looked at tonight, help us to realize that we of all people should be joyful. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.